Switch that. There we go. Okay. So if you've been with us for the last 4 years or so, you've probably heard this in some form. You know pretty much what I'm about to say. We presented it again in January this year with some updates. I'm going to give you roughly the same information. We got about an hour and a half worth of content in this presentation that I'm going to get into 20 minutes. Okay, so listen fast with me. For those of you who've heard it seven times now, what am I going to start with? It all started with a roof. My children make fun of me now. Basically, in 2018, 2019, our building committee, our trustees got together and we started working on the feasibility of what would be next. And we first thing we had to do was replace a roof in the B building, but we recognized immediately that if we started pulling on the thread that was that roof, we were going to end up with a giant ball of yarn because there was a whole bunch of stuff going on in the A and B wings particularly and part of the C wing that needed to be taken care of. Obviously the bathrooms, if you've waited in line for a restroom around here, you understand what I'm talking about. There are no elevators in the A and B wings. So if you have mobility issues, we have to make sure that whatever we have for you is on the first floor. There are structural issues with A and B and part of the chapel. There's asbestos in those spaces, and once we start construction, we have to deal with all of that as well. The roofing is in poor shape, and then plumbing, electrical, and mechanical systems, which we are in process of trying to remedy right now. When the finance committee, the trustees, and the building committee got together on how to proceed, we didn't want to spend any money unless we addressed these things, security and accessibility. We know also that we need more bathrooms, more accommodations that are in compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. We need to be hospitable to folks with mobility issues. We didn't want to build any second stories that didn't have an elevator to access them. We need more circulation space around the hallways. Brother Scott mentioned we don't want to walk single file through the hall. We want plenty of room for fellowship and hospitality. We needed to see immediate improvement in our HVAC efficiency using equipment technology that's 30 or 40 years old and electrical equipment that's almost 60 years old. Same thing with the plumbing systems. And we needed to see all of the cost to operate those things come down in the long run. But that security and accessibility issue in the construction of new facilities was very important to us. We wanted to see our preschool and children's spaces. If you have kids or if you watch the news in any way, you know how important it is for kids to be safe and secure in the spaces where they're worshiping at church. And that parents need to feel like they know that there's not going to be anybody in that space that's not supposed to be there. We needed our administrative offices to be safe and secure during the week as well. We needed space for hospitality to make it possible for groups to gather, for folks to talk in the lobbies. And we wanted to improve also our curb appeal from Lone Oak Road. And then make sure that the navigation through the facility is guest friendly. Some of you have been attending church here for a long time, and you're still learning your way around our facility because some of the spaces connecting from one part of the building to another don't make sense, or they're very compressed and cramped. So here's the timeline of how we got here. 2019, we began meeting. 2020, in the first quarter, I presented all of this to you, and then COVID hit us. And we all had to take a pause from there. And then after COVID, we have seen the world's supply chains and the cost of construction, the cost of equipment, the cost of material all increased dramatically. But in 2021, we brought your recommendation and decided as a church on May the 4th, 2021, we voted to proceed. In 2022, we finalized all the designs and got that going, and then we took bids. And then in September of that year, we realized that our church was headed for a leadership transition. Brother Dan knew that he would be announcing to the church that he would be retiring. And so rather than launch into all of phase one, right up front, we split into two phases. And so we started now with phase zero, and that's the work there is underway now. To build the mechanical space right out here in the parking lot, you've the part that's all torn up, the steel that's going up there, that's for the boiler room, the electrical systems, the HVAC brains are all in that place. All the utility is being relocated to that side of the campus. We're re-engineering all of the HVAC systems to make it comfortable and replacing all of those boiled and chilled water lines. We're relocating electrical and mechanical systems to those spaces, and we're going so that we can expand the lobby and serve the worship center better. We're going to replace all of the air handling equipment that serves the worship center C&D buildings, and that's about 200 tons of HVAC. At home, you might have 3 to 5 tons. If you have a big house, you might have 7. We're talking about 200 tons of HVAC serving out of 115,000 square feet. Almost 100,000 of it is all being, all the HVAC is being replaced. And we're replacing all the electrical service equipment that runs it. We're replacing all the sewer systems. There's nothing fun about having to dig up and replace all the sewer systems, but that work is now complete. It's paid for, and the church is in good shape for the next 90 to 100 years there. We hear them, but it adds capacity for restrooms, shorten some of those lines that you wait in, and make them handicap accessible on the way. And then you've already seen, if you've been here at night, if you've been here on Wednesday night or whatever, we have new parking lot lighting on the north side of the campus that it's almost like daylight walking in from outside to inside. We're going to improve that on the south side as well in phase one. And then we're going to rework the parking and traffic plan up there on the north side to make it a little bit more kid-friendly. Right now, if your kid runs out in the parking lot, it's hard to see. We're going to try and fix the traffic plan out there so that it's a little safer. And this is what it will look like when phase zero is complete. Again, not much change, but a whole lot of this work is happening underground and behind the scenes in spaces that you'll never see. But we know that the systems that run in these spaces, if they don't work like they're supposed to, we all know it and wish that it did. All right. Also part of phase zero, we've got to get the staff out of the way of the A and B buildings so that we can begin moving right into phase one. We have now relocated the offices to 3503 Clinton Road. That's the corner of Lone Oak and Cave Thomas, right down the street here. It used to be the Lee Corps building. There's room for the whole staff, and we have an open house today from 1 to 3, so if you are go eat lunch or whatever and you want to come back and see where the offices are moved, we'll be down there between 1 and 3 today. In addition to those things, we've also had to borrow some things from the future planning because things have started to break down, like the worship center roof. It needed to be replaced earlier than we had originally allowed for. We've had to replace HVAC units in some of the C-wing classrooms and some of the D-building classrooms, and then make structural and life safety reinforcements in the C-wing so that the roof is ready to receive all those new HVAC units, and those things are going on right now. We are also in the process of replacing HVAC in the 2009 edition of the D-Wing. That includes the youth lounge. If it's a little hot and stuffy in there right now, kids, it'll get better in a few weeks. We have seen plenty of delays in construction with the availability of material and equipment. It's just the nature of the economy that we're in right now, but it's coming along. We struggled a little bit with understanding how the C-Wing was attached to this part of the building, and so that's one of the reasons that work out there has had to go slowly. Just walking you through the finances real quick on this, the overall cost of developing this entire project in all phases so far has been about $2.5 million. We spent about $500,000 on offsite admin space and $5.56 million in phase zero construction cost, plus the money we spent on the sewer extension at 136, the worship center roof at $384,000, and that D-wing mechanical work at $200,000. So That's kind of how the overall scope of phase zero. Within the capital campaign so far, since the beginning of 2022, we've taken in $7,780,465, and we've spent about $5.7 million. We have remaining a little over $2 million in the Future Building and Growth Fund, and we still owe about $3.2 million to finish phase zero. Now, through the end of June, we expect to take in another $450,000, and then we will have to borrow a little bit temporarily to complete the phase zero work. Of course, if we have a good injection of cash through the capital campaign next week and in the weeks to follow, it may end up not needing to borrow for phase zero at all, and that would be super fantastic. So that brings us to where we stand today with phase one. Phase one will begin with the demolition of A and B and part of the C wing, and then expand the lobbies, the entrances, and the connection to the D building, and then we'll construct the preschool and children's building. And this is what it'll look like when you're looking up from the south parking area. Right here, if it helps you understand, right this point right here, the new front door, is about where Mark Swadley and John Bennett's offices were in the A wing, right down this hall. That helps you get a good feeling for what's happening there. This is another view from Lone Oak Road. Now, some of the finishes and everything have changed, so don't hold us to all of that. But this gives you a good perspective on what we're looking at. Plenty of open space. And a lot of this glass that you see, people say, wow, that's a lot of windows and everything. It's like Brother Scott was saying just a minute ago, the community knows what they know about your church because what they can see is happening in there. People can see through from the outside what's happening on the inside, and they get a good sense that our church is open and transparent and available to them. When you come in from Clinton Road, this would be the new view. There you're coming down the hill there from the MPR, and you see we've taken out part of the chapel C-wing area and expanded there. In the future, the new fellowship hall sits on top of that grassy area. This would be the new lobby. When you walk in that front door, this would be what you see coming in from the main entrance there. And then this is the view coming in from the Clinton Road, now chapel entrance. Part of what we're doing here is to improve the connection with the D building as well. So up here, this stairway that opens up into the D building lobby is about three times as wide as it is now. Right now, it's pretty much single file through there. Got to wait and give other people the right of way while you're coming up and down through the D wing. We're going to fix that as well. All right. So the children's building as part of phase one as well. We've been talking a lot about that. It's secure space for preschoolers and elementary. There will be technology all through the facility. There'll be space for worship, discipleship, and play, and we'll be able to accommodate kids with special needs in preschool and elementary. So both floors will have special needs space, and space available for kids in this building will double from what we have now. Here's what the preschool assembly space will look like when you walk in. And again, some of the finishes will be a little different by the time we get everything built. But you come in through the preschool assembly, and the kids can have worship right there. One of the benefits in both spaces is that you'll be able to have preschool worship, children's worship, and classes going on at the same time. Right now, the only gathering space that preschoolers have is also the check-in space. So we're also fixing that so you can run preschool worship and preschool classes at the same time. Second floor, walk in into the secured area, and this is what the elementary students will see, or something like it. And this is flexible space for games, for classes at tables, or for fellowship, and then they'll have a dedicated worship space as well. And so again, you'll have three spaces to use at the same time for elementary students. And then here's what a preschool bathroom might look like. Each of the preschool classes will have their own. Second floor elementary restrooms might look like this. A typical elementary classroom might look like this one. And the preschool snack area might look like that. So just open space. How are we going to pay for it? Well, here's some talking points on how the finances might work. First of all, we don't know exactly how much phase one is going to cost yet. It's in the bidding phase again right now, so we hope to have a firm number to bring to you either at the May business meeting or the June one, so that we can vote to proceed there. We received in July 22 a construction bid of $24,125,000, which was all of phase zero and phase one. So when you take out the phase zero cost and then add back the money that we will need to spend on tables and chairs and other furniture fixtures and equipment, as well as contingency in case we run into something unexpected, plus we've just thrown in an extra 5% to allow for inflation and the escalation of costs between 2022 and today, that's another $1.2 million. So that leaves us at about $20,515,000. Now, that is an impossibly high number, okay? It is impossible for our church to put that kind of money together outside of the work of the Holy Spirit, working in us, showing us how he would lead our families to sacrifice and to give. That number, by the way, isn't new. We talked about it in January. It comes through budget contributions. So what you give to the budget, $70,000 a month right now, is going into the Future Building and Growth Fund. We anticipate borrowing $17.75 million. Of course, every dollar that you give right now is a dollar that we don't have to borrow. And it's a whole lot cheaper to not borrow, right? So we want to keep that the borrowing amount as low as possible by giving early money. And if any of you, the Lord is leading you to help us make sure that we never have to borrow anything, we would love to talk with you about that. I'll be happy to entertain that conversation any day. Right now, you are on top of your tithes and offerings. You're giving about $70,000 a month in designated giving to the building fund at this time. So that's about $140,000 or so between your average designated giving and the budget contribution going into the building fund. And we will all need to seek the Lord and ask him how he would lead us to give in this next phase. So we got to pray. We need to raise the money between $3 and $6 million as quickly as possible to help the project move along into phase one without so that we can extend that time when we have to begin borrowing. We would only borrow what's necessary to complete the cost. Also, it's very practical. Pray that we would be able to get a favorable rate and the interest rates would come down between now and the time we have to go to permanent financing. Here's the fact. An interest rate in the fives is a whole lot cheaper than an interest rate in the eights, right? So we want to see that all of that happens before we have to start making payments. All right. How many of you have been to the Ark Encounter? Show of hands. A few. Okay. So what they did beautifully with the Ark Encounter, and I think every believer should go to the Ark at some point if you can. It's not far. It's 5 hours. It's a great day. What they did with the Ark that we read a few verses about in one chapter of Genesis, and they find a way to make it plausible. Like in our minds, we can't imagine how this thing could have happened in the way that it did. But they break it down and make it so that we can, well, maybe this could be. Maybe this could have happened this way. The way they say it happened may not exactly be all the right detail. But they put some thought into it and they figured out how it might be possible. Here's one way that a $3 to $6 million right now might be possible. This model relies on 245 families. About 500 families gave 91% of everything that was given in 2023. So if 100 families gave $3,000, 100 families gave $1,000, that's $400,000. 10 families gave $20,000, 20 families gave $5,000, that's $300,000. 13 families gave $100,000 each, that's $1.3 million. Two gifts of $500,000 each, that's $1 million. And all that together is $3 million. And that relies on less than half of the families who gave most of the money in 2023. It'll come through fundraising. It'll come through borrowing, unless we don't. It'll come through new growth. We've already seen a number of new families joining our church. Some of this information is new to you because you're new to Lone Oak, and welcome. But when we open the children's building, there will be more growth in young families, which also grows our giving. And then we will see increased giving from that. Our present families will need to increase and sustain that level of increase. So you can certainly make traditional contributions. You can give other assets. If you're over 55, you can do direct distributions from IRA accounts, but with tax implications. If you're over 70 and a half, there are some great ways to give that don't have the same tax implications. Please make sure you talk to Lee Willingham or to myself, and let's get you pointed in the right direction before. Do not cash out anything. We want to talk about that in advance. And then, of course, even today, we have an estate planning seminar. Our friends from PhilanthroCorps are here to help us walk through legacy giving and legacy planning for your family. So even as we've talked through all of these things, and phase one seems huge, there's still future phases to come. We still have the fellowship hall on the horizon out there. Whatever is to happen here in the worship center, a lot of those decisions haven't been made yet, but we know that the worship center will need attention soon, and then the administrative building, both the fellowship hall and the administrative building, we had to put on hold to split the project up into something that we could get done. If you would, take out your commitment card that was inserted in the bulletin. We're going to walk through that real quick. As we've been praying together as a church, you've had the printed prayer guides that have been coming every day to your email. As we've been praying, you might have noticed it said that we would mail a commitment card to your home. We actually changed that up so that we could put one in everybody's hands today and walk you through it, okay? So that you come back next week prepared to make your commitment and to give. Here's the fact about all of this. Our church cannot raise $20 million. Our church, we don't have the ability to do that on our own. The Lord has to take our individual sacrifice and put them all together and work to multiply it on our behalf. In inflation-adjusted dollars, the size of what the Church of 250 did in 1966 is still a bigger project than this next phase of construction. And I believe the line I've heard over and over and over, and you have too, that what the church said then was, we'll never fill it. And we fill it up every week. And when in 2009 y'all built the MPR and the lobby renovations out front, it came to about nine-ish million dollars, and folks said we'd never get it paid off. You paid it off 7 years early. The Lord takes our might, whatever that is, and he multiplies it, and he adds it all together, and he does that work, if it's his will to do so. So look with me at the commitment card. Next week when you come, if you would bring this back, you do not have to put your name on it. We would love for you to, because we want to know what folks are planning. But this is not a traditional capital campaign where you're making a pledge. This is a commitment between you and the Lord. It is even a greater commitment than if you were signing a pledge card that the bank would see. This is a commitment that you make between your family and the Lord. But you are committing it to Him, and you will trust Him to provide what you need. If you filled out one of these cards last time around, it ran through the end of 2024. This replaces all of that to extend everything out through the end of 2026. So when you're thinking and adding and trying to figure out what you're going to do, and you make a commitment number, this is to begin June the 1st of 2024 and go through the end of 26. So we prayerfully plan to just be clear, make sure we understand how to interpret what you mean. Make an initial gift to the building fund in the amount of blank on Sunday, April 28th, or within a few weeks of that day. Make ongoing contributions to the building fund with amount totaling blank through the end of 26, or increase our contributions to the general budget fund by some amount or percentage through the end of 2026, and then commit to praying earnestly for the Lord to provide everything that we need. Any combination of those things. Those are not options. They are this one, that one, or all of the above. So that helps you, I hope, understand how to use the card. Be praying this week that the Lord would lead you to do His will and to know your part in it. Pastor.
My family and I came to pastor Lone Oak First Baptist Church. May the 7th was the first time that I had received contact by the church regarding the possibility of talking to the church about being a pastor. Very early in the process, the pastor search committee told me about this building project. Particularly, they wanted me to know the magnitude of this project and what would become a major part of my pastoral leadership. And they wanted me to know, this is where we are, this is where we're going. We just need you to be aware before you come in to find out if you're interested or not. And my family and I prayed about it, we thought about it, and our conclusion was, absolutely, we want to be a part of this. Like, if God is doing such a work in the church's life that they would be considering a step of bold faith like this, that's what we want to be a part of. Now, as I hear the presentation, I'm nervous. I mean, as a young family, as a pastor that serves a really good church, but as a young family, like, we have remarkable demands on our finances, as you do. And it makes me a little nervous because my family can't fund this by ourselves. We just can't. Like, my family and our staff, we can't do this by ourselves. And it makes me a little uncomfortable because we can't do it by ourselves. We have to do it together. And you know, more than being comfortable, what I want for our church is to be like Christ. If I had to choose, what do I want our church to be? What do I want my people? What do I want my family to be? It's not comfortable. I want us to be like Jesus Christ. And you know what was characteristic about Jesus Christ is that He sacrificed for others. And this building project, this To Every Generation campaign, our invitation is to be like Jesus Christ because it calls for each of us to sacrifice for other people. And it boils down to that. That's what makes this such a spiritual component, is that by participating, me, my family, you, your family, all of us together, we have the opportunity by participating in this campaign to be like Jesus Christ because it calls for every single one of us to make a sacrifice. And I want you not to be comfortable. I want you to be like Jesus Christ in every way. I want you to be in a position where you joyfully generously sacrifice yourself for the benefit of other people. Certainly, we're talking about financially giving, but I'm also talking about you pouring your life into other people every single day wherever you go. What's more valuable than that? And Jesus did. He sacrificed everything. The Bible tells us that he laid down his life for the benefit of other people. He died on the cross so that we could live. And we have the opportunity to sacrifice all that we have for the benefit of other people. I'm going to invite Brother Mark, the worship team, to make their way forward. If you're serving the invitation, either as a prayer team member or as a minister, would you make your way to the front? I want to move us to a time of invitation, and this is how I'm going to invite you to respond. Because this is a spiritual matter that we are walking through, because this is a spiritual matter, we must bathe everything we do in prayer. You have your commitment card. Again, this is not a pledge card. We're not asking you to tell us what you're going to give, and we're not going to hold you to it. We're asking you to make a commitment to the Lord. What can you sacrifice for the benefit of others? During this invitation, I want to invite you, either individually or as a family or as a household, however you're organized, I want you to take this card and I want you to pray, Lord, what are you calling us to give? How are you calling us to sacrifice? And I want you to pray, because next week, we're going to have worship, we're going to have preaching, and then during the invitation, we're going to invite you to make the commitment and to leave your commitment at the altar. We're not going to ask you to read it out loud. And your commitment may be to give $25, one-time gift. And if that's a sacrifice, we are going to celebrate with heaven for your generous sacrificial giving. Some of you are going to be able to give $500,000. Literally, some of you will give $500,000 and we will celebrate with heaven your sacrificial, generous giving. But what I want all of us to do is I want us to be like Jesus and sacrifice for somebody else. And what an exciting invitation that we have to be a part of that. So during this invitation, I want you to take time and pray and seek the Lord. Lord, what would you have me give? Convict me about that. Direct me about that. But also, I want to give you an opportunity during the invitation to respond. However the Lord is leading you to respond, you may hear this presentation and this message and say, I want to be a part of a church like Lone Oak First Baptist Church. And you may feel compelled or convicted to join this church. During the invitation, when we're all standing and singing, if you would like to join the church, we want to receive you. You can step out into the aisle, come down front, take me or one of the ministers by the hand and say, hey, I want to join the church. And we will be thrilled to walk you through that process. Perhaps you want to be baptized. God is bringing so many forward to profess their faith through believer's baptism. We would love to receive you for that. Or maybe today you need to profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the very first time. And if that's you, the invitation is the perfect time for you to respond. Take one of the ministers by the hand and let us walk you through the decision of receiving forgiveness of your sins by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Would you stand where you are? I'm going to lead us in prayer. Our worship team is going to lead us to respond during song. Father, thank you for the morning. What a special time, Father, to meet, to sing, to fellowship, and to hear a presentation about what's next. Lord, we're thankful that occasionally that you give us the opportunity to occasionally just deal with matters of importance to the church. And today is one of those days. We pray, Lord, that you were honored and blessed by our meeting together, by our fellowshipping, and by our focus. Help us now to respond as you lead us to. In Jesus' name, amen. The invitation is open. Who needs to respond?